Scripture this morning comes from John's Gospel. This happens to be John chapter 14. We begin in verse 5, and we're going to read through verse 14. So John 14, 5 through 14. Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, so how can we know the way to get there?" Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except by me." "Now that you have known me," he said to them, "you will know my Father also, and from now on you do know him, and you have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, that is all we need." Jesus answered, "For a long time I have been with you all, yet you do not know me, Philip. Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Why then do you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe, Philip, that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I have spoken to you?" Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not come from me. The Father who remains in me does his own work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. If not, believe because of the things I do. I am telling you the truth. Those who believe in me will do what I do. Yes, they will do even greater things because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask for me in my name so that the Father's glory will be shown through the Son. If you ask me for anything in my name, I will do it." Now, praise be to God for the reading of the Word. There is one more thing to pray about this week. Rick Hinchey is off to Washington, D.C. He's been invited by the National Day of Prayer Group to come and be a part of the gathering and to meet with them. And so he'll be flying out in a couple days, and then he will spend time in the activities there. Just think, we have one from our own congregation that'll be in Washington, D.C. on National Day of Prayer. Would you cover him in prayer for his travels and for his time there? Cover Rachel in prayer while Rick is gone. Thank you so much. Let's pray. Lord, as I speak today, would you help me to convey your thoughts? Lord, let's get rid of anything that's not from you, and I'll be so grateful. Amen. Sometimes we wonder if Christianity is ever going to last. It seems like there are so many other religions in the world. Is Christianity going to make it? It's not very popular at the moment for the values of Christianity to be in our world, especially in the United States. And so we wonder if the people who study these things, Gallup is organization is one, in the latest poll, this comes from 2013, they have determined that 77% of Americans say that they are Christians. There are only, according to their poll, there's only 5% of the population of these Christians that are not either Protestant or Catholic. Now, having said that, that's a good thing. But of those 77% that say they're Christians, only half of them will go to church at least one time in a year. We got a lot to pray about. In our world, Christianity is by far the largest religion. Again, according to these studies, there are a little over 2 billion Christians in the world. There's about 1.5 billion Muslims. There's 1 billion Hindus. There's 500 million Buddhists. And then there's also so many other small groups, the Jews, the Sikhs, the Baha'is, others. Do you know the atheists that sometimes we think make so much noise? They're only 2% of the population in the world. Now, although Christianity predominates, it's really necessary for us to face the question of what do we say about other religions? How do we present Christianity in a positive light? We live in the time when things are so exposed, you pretty much can't go anywhere at any time now that there isn't a camera recording things. Our public projection is very important. When I was in Kansas City and I was studying at the St. Paul's School of Theology, we stayed at a Jesuit seminary. That's where we were housed. And across the street were the Hare Krishnas. It was real easy as we drove to school in the morning to spot the Krishnas and understand that they had a religion because they had those salmon-colored robes on. And they would be out early in the morning. They would have their prayer beads in hand and they'd be walking the streets. Their religion was very public and very, very noticeable. I wonder what people think about you and me when we walk the streets of our communities. Is there a way that folks would know that we're Christians? And almost every day we are challenged in one way or another about this belief that we have as followers of Christ, that Jesus is the only way to God. You see, the New Testament is very clear on that. It's an emphatic yes. Jesus, remember, we read this in verse 6. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." This is a claim that Jesus made and still stands today. That the way to God is by knowing Jesus the Christ. You'll remember a time in the life of the disciples. Peter and John were outside of the temple one day and there was a person who had been crippled. And they healed him. And he got up and he walked. Well, they got arrested for that. And so they're on trial. And the judges in the trial said, "Well, how did you do that? In whose authority did you do that?" And of course, they could have more easily, because they were concerned about will I be arrested and have to stay here? They more easily could have simply said, "Well, it was a coincidence." But you know what? They didn't. They didn't at all. Listen to this. This is Acts 4:12. This was their response to why or how they healed. He says, "By the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." And the Apostle Paul, he chimes into that same choir. This is 1 Timothy 2:5. "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." So then we need to take a look at the person of Jesus Christ. First of all, Jesus is unique in his qualifications. The Bible is very, very clear on proclaiming Jesus as the holy and righteous one, the author of life, the one that was told about by the prophets in the Old Testament. Do you know? When the early Christians, those first century Christians, the ones that got the church started, when they got together on Sunday, they worshiped Jesus as God because that's how they knew him. Not only was he the Son. He was God himself. We haven't given up on that, by the way, even in our time. And that sets Jesus apart from the leaders of the great world religions. You know, Muslims don't like to be called Mohammedans because they don't worship Muhammad. And the English preacher, John Stott, I like his stuff a lot. He tells us it is not even clear whether Buddha believed in the existence of God. You see, the first writings, the classic Buddhism, had no God. Jesus is unique, and you know that. He's unique in his divinity, unmatched by any other leader of religions in the world. Secondly, Jesus is unique in his achievement. You and I know we are sinners. And we also know that we need a Savior because we cannot save ourselves. Jesus is our Savior. Buddhism, the Buddhists have a very different view of their leader, Buddha. They understand Buddha as a teacher, not as a Savior. And likewise, Muhammad, they understand Muhammad as a prophet, not a Savior. Do you know, in Islam, sinners will face judgment before the Holy God without any forgiveness at all. Now, contrast that with Jesus. You and I are guilty. But Jesus saves us from our guilt. He saves us from the addictive power of sin, and he saves us from the judgment that we all deserve. A third thing about Jesus' uniqueness is his resurrection. The resurrection is an exclusive event in the history of the world. The whole world changed that day. In the religious books of Buddhism, it records the great entrance of Buddha into nirvana. But there's no suggestion whatsoever that a Buddhist will follow their leader after his death. The date of the death of the Prophet Muhammad is known, but there is no one in Islam who supposes that they will survive their own physical death. But oh, what about Jesus? The resurrection of Jesus lies at the heart of our faith. We cannot know Buddha or Muhammad in person. But not only we can, but we do know that Jesus Christ is alive today. We can know him. But let's be a little bit careful here. Because before we go too deep into dissing other religions, we need to think about something. The truth, that Jesus is the only way to God does not give us privilege and does not allow us to write off other religions as misguided and demonic. Oh, they aren't true, that's for sure. It's only in Jesus that ultimate truth is found. It's only in Jesus that the standard by which we test the truth for other religions is found, but that doesn't mean that parts of the truth cannot be found in other religions. Think about it. I was pondering this yesterday and then again this morning as the sun rose. The beauty of creation. It's all around us, especially in the springtime when it's coming alive again. The trees are budding. There's a robin's nest by the back door of the church. God is revealed in creation. And we only need to look to the beauty of all of that to see this. It's in Psalm 19:1. The heavens declare the glory of the God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. In creation, it's possible for men and women to find out the truth about God's existence, His character, His power, and His glory. The evidence of creation is available to all. And so, therefore, we will see some of that evidence in other religions. Secondly, human beings are made in the image of God. And God has given us a conscience to distinguish right from wrong. Paul said this in Romans 14:15. Indeed, when Gentiles who do not have the law do by nature things required by the law, they are a law for themselves, even though they do not have the law, since they show that the requirements of the law are written on their hearts, their consciences also bearing witness, and their thoughts now accusing, now even defending them. It's not surprising that the basis of the golden rule is found in all of the major religions of the world. And do you know where it comes from? You and I have heard about the golden rule since we were little. It comes from Matthew 7:12, where it says this: "So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets." So this morning, let me finish this line of thinking that I'm on with the idea that it is nonsense to believe that all religions are equally true in this world, or that all religions lead to God, because other religions contain error. Only in Jesus Christ can we find infallible truth. He is the standard by which all truth claims must be examined. C.S. Lewis wrote a powerful book. It's called Mere Christianity. I read it again just a little bit ago. And in it, this is a quote from him. He says this: "If you are a Christian, you do not have to believe that all the other religions are simply wrong all through. If you are an atheist, you do have to believe that the main point in all the religions of the whole world is simply one huge mistake. If you are a Christian, you are free to think that all those religions, even the queerest ones, contain at least some hint of the truth. When I was an atheist," did you realize that? The great C.S. Lewis was once an atheist. "When I was an atheist, I had to try to persuade myself that most of the human race had always been wrong about the question that mattered to them most. When I became a Christian, I was able to take a more liberal view. But of course, being a Christian does not mean thinking that where Christianity differs from other religions, Christianity is right and they are wrong. As in arithmetic, there is only one right answer to a sum, and all other answers are wrong. But some of the wrong answers are much nearer being right than others." There are two kinds of people in this world: those who believe in Jesus and those who don't believe in Jesus just yet. And some of those that are the just yet are so close. They're so close. And maybe we can be a part of God's work in helping them to move from so close to the right place. So for you and me, knowing that Jesus is the only way to God, What is it that we should be doing? Here is your homework. You thought you were going to get out of it because, you know, the Sunday school is almost finished and maybe Pastor Don will give us the summer off. No. Here's your homework. Because you're sitting here this morning, understand, you have no excuse for not sharing the good news of Jesus in the places you live and work and visit. None of us are ever allowed to say, I never heard about Jesus. You see, if the early Christians, those in that first century, had not been willing to tell about Jesus to those who already had another religion of their own, Christianity would have died off in that very first generation. We have a thing that we follow, it's called the Great Commission, and it compels us to go to others with the news of Jesus the Christ. And then we have to go humbly, with sensitivity. Christians are no better, quite honestly, than other religions or of no religions. We are all in the same boat. We all need a Savior, and there's no room for arrogance on our part. We just need to be positive. We should not attack other faiths. What we should be doing, here's the homework, is simply preaching the good news of Jesus. The best way you can do that is to just live your life the way you know that Jesus would want you to live it. We need to respect everyone because they are made in the image of God just as we are, whether they are Christians or not. This is going to take courage. The early Christians were unashamed witnessing for Jesus. Their message was unpopular and often got them into trouble, but they did not stop. And we need to do the same in our age when tolerance and not truth is the order of the day. We are living in a pluralistic society, but that does not close us off. As a matter of fact, it allows us to proclaim our faith not only in the public square, but in the marketplace and in the homes of our neighbors and the places that we go for vacation. Amazing that God would say, you can do it. You are worthy. And what we need to do is simply to pray. And he'll show us the way. And he'll give us the words. And he'll set us in the right places at the right time. What an amazing Christ, our Savior, we serve. Amen.